I thought about the people in Togo. I thought about the missionaries that are there from America. I thought about the church family. And what came to mind was, what do all of us have in common? And as I, this message kind of comes out of my heart, it's just like, what do we all share in common together? And that's the title of the message. What do we all have in common? So the answer is the next line beneath it. If you have your sermon listening guide, it's this. All of us need God moments in our lives. We all need God encounter, God moments in our life. Makes no difference if we're in America or we're in Africa. We all, as we walk with Christ, need something that's bigger and stronger and more powerful than ourselves. I'll call them God moments. So a definition of a God moment is this. It's when God does something for us that we can't do for ourselves. If you're here this morning and you're up against a wall of some kind that you can't seem to get past, or you're in circumstances that are beyond your control, what you need is a God moment, a God encounter in which He does something for you that you cannot do for yourselves. And so as I thought about just a message for today, here's what I want to do. I want to share with you four stages to experience a God moment that we all go through. Then I want to talk about four examples from the scriptures of people that had a God moment. Hopefully you can find yourself somewhere in this story. All right, in your notes, four stages to a God moment. Number one. The first thing is, or the first stage, is what I call expecting. Read with me Hebrews 11:6 in your notes. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Circle the word faith. This is where it begins. You and I must expect something from God. There's a book that said that God is attracted to faith. Do you realize if you are looking to God in faith, you have His attention? You know why? It's the only way we please Him. Faith draws God into your life. This sense of expectation can move God's heart. You have the ability and power to get God to do something for yourself or for your family or for a friend, all because you have a sense of faith and expectation. That's how God works. Stage two. The second thing is what I call believing. Stage two is believing. Words of Jesus. Let's read them together. All things are possible to him who believes. When you and I believe, it sinks into our soul and spirit. It becomes a part of us. And we nurture that sense of faith, the expectation, and we believe it. We anchor to it. We trust in it. You may be here today, and you're right there. Where you're at in your, to get your miracle moment, your God moment, you're just believing God, even though it seems impossible. But remember, a God moment is when God will do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Stage three, waiting. Waiting. Let's read Psalm 41 and 2 in your notes. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Circle the word waited, or words waited patiently. I read a story about a couple. She was in her 40s and she got breast cancer. It rocked their world. And the guy said they just didn't know what to do, and they had to walk it forward. treatments and all the tests and all the appointments. And they walked it forward, but they had to wait on God for the miracle. And as the story goes forward, you know, she came out good, and there was a sense of victory at the end, but they had to wait on God for the miracle. You may be here today, and you're right there. You are waiting on God for something. Now, understand, if you're in the ER, something happens, it's a crisis, the waiting could be solved in 24 hours. Sometimes that happens. The miracle can happen through medicine and prayer. It can happen quickly, or it could be decades. Abraham and Sarah waited over 2 decades for a son that was promised to them. You may be praying for someone, and you've been praying for decades or years. But you're in a position of expecting, that's faith, believing, you're staying the course, and then you're leaning into waiting. Chances are most people here today, those listening online, you're in stage 3. You are saying, God, I'm up against a wall, but I need you to do something for me. All right, stage 4. Stage 4 is what I call receiving. Receiving. I love Ezekiel 24:14. Here's what it says. I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to what? Act. Circle the word act. You see, there comes a time where God steps in and he acts. He does something for us that we can't do for ourselves. It's a turning point. It brings a sense of victory. We find deliverance. We find healing. We find renewed hope. But he comes and he acts. Now here's the key. You and I have to be in a position to receive it. We're believing him for it, but open our hearts to receive it. So 4 stages to a God moment. Number 1, you expect. It's an attitude of faith. Number 2, believe. Hang in there. Tough it out. Number 3, waiting. Could be months. Could be years. Could be decades. It could be just a week. Waiting is a part of the territory. You know why? You know what happens when you wait? Your soul is being enlarged. God is preparing you as a vessel for a greater blessing, and it requires that our soul be expanded and enlarged to receive it. So don't be discouraged in your waiting. Everybody here is waiting for something. God's enlarging you. But then number 4, receiving. There comes a time where God says, okay, they've waited long enough. Their soul is expanded. I will act. This is the God moment. This is where he steps in. So what I'd like to do now, the remainder of the message, I want to share with you 4 examples of God moments in Scripture. I hope that you find yourself in one of these. All right, number 1. Job experienced a lot of losses. Losses, write that word in. And in chapter 1, verses 13 to 17, he lost his livestock through a storm, or they were stolen. And so his sheep, and they were taken away, and he lost his livelihood. We find later that he lost 10 children all in one day. Can you imagine? 10 children died as a storm swept over their house. And then we find a little bit later in verses 7 and 8, he lost his health. Is, you know, he had boils and the enemy was attacking him. He lost his health. Then in verse 10, it says his wife told him to curse God and die. He lost his wife's support. So Job reeled with a whole bunch of losses. Now, I tried to figure out or read, how long was it between when all this happened and when he found deliverance? And you know, it's silent. We really don't know how long it was. Some people thought it was maybe 6 to 9 months, but there's no definite time frame. Did this last a month, a year, or a few months? But here's a key insight. In the first two chapters, here's what it says about Job. In all this stuff, he did not sin by charging God foolishly. You know what? He kept the faith. And I find it amazing that this guy went through all this stuff, but he kept his mouth under control. He had questions, but he did not charge God foolishly. Now, here's what happened. For the next 37 chapters, he has three friends that come to visit him, and these friends give him bad advice. Hey, Job, you're in this situation because you sinned, or it's something, you did something bad in your life. And he's saying, well, I'm not perfect, but it still happened, but it was bad advice. But here's the key thought. Chapter 38, verse 1. It's the God moment. Here's what it says. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. God steps in chapter 38, and there's a turning point. All that he suffered, he went through. His soul was enlarged, but there comes a point for you and for me where God will step into your situation and then do something new. Then the Lord answered. The next few chapters, God just kind of levels the playing field, speaks into Job's life. He's blessed the latter part of his life more than the former. Kids, he had another 10 children. I mean, it's an incredible story. But here's my point. You might be in chapters 1 to 37. Keep walking forward. You know why? You need to get to chapter 38. What is that? It's when God steps in. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. Everybody has a then moment coming your way. The question is when. All right, let's go to number 2. Jen talked about this. I love this story. Martha experienced grief. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Lazarus has died, and Jesus comes, and there's Martha and Mary. And Jesus knew the plan, but the people were suffering with grief. Read with me 11:39 in your notes. Take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. So Jesus says, I want you to roll away the stone. They think it's a bad idea, but they go ahead and do it. It says, so they took away the stone. I want you to notice the next word. What is it? Then Jesus looked up and said, Lazarus, come out. You see, there was a then moment for people who were in grief. Now, Lazarus was raised from the dead. We don't always get that when we lose a loved one. But there is something we can get. We can experience resurrection power to lift us out of our grief. If you are in deep grief today because of the loss of a loved one or loved ones, let me tell you, you just walk through the stages. There will come a moment where God will speak into your life and bring resurrection out of the deep grief that you're experiencing. All right, number 3. Jehoshaphat needed direction. He needed direction. Now, here's the story. There were 3 armies that came against God's people. Let's read together 2 Chronicles 22. A vast army is coming against you from Edom. So the people are outnumbered. And so you know what Jehoshaphat did? He called the people together to pray. Not only did they pray, they fasted. If you're trying to figure out a direction for your life, a big decision that has to be made, take some time and fast. Get serious with God, and when you seek him, he will show up. Now, here's what happened, verses 14 and 15. Read those with me. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. The people prayed, and God then came down upon the person named Jehaziel and gave him a plan. God answered. It was a then moment, and he says, hey, this battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord, and here's how victory will come. The point is this. If you're seeking direction in life about some big decision, Say, God, what do I do here? Take time to pray, even fast, and then let the Spirit of God through you or somebody else descend and show you the direction going forward. It's available to us. It's a then moment, and God came along and delivered the people. All right, and lastly, number four. The fourth example is the children of Israel in Egypt. It's when God's people were in bondage. Read with me Exodus 6:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go." Moses had talked with Pharaoh about letting the people go, and the Pharaoh refused. And Moses says to God, "Well, what's up? I thought you sent me to deliver the people." And God said this at a certain time. He says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," he says, "now you will see what I will do." So you may be here today, and maybe there's some kind of bondage in your life, a sense of captivity, a sense of you're being held back, a sense of frustration. Walk it forward. Give God the opportunity for a then moment in which he comes along and he brings deliverance into your life. So four examples. Number one, Job had a lot of losses. Chapter 38, things changed. It was a then moment. Martha experienced grief. They rolled away the stone. It says, then Jesus looked up. He called Lazarus out. Number three, Jehoshaphat needed direction. Maybe that's what you need today, direction. Seek God and pray and let his Spirit speak to your heart or someone else to give that. Number four, I love this. God's people were in bondage. There came a moment as they went through the stages of a God moment in which the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do." I have one last slide. Here it is. At any moment, God can shift you from waiting on it to walking in it. So keep trusting him. So what does that mean? You're in the waiting stage. Maybe today, this service, your waiting turns into walking in it. You walk in a new level of victory. You know why? You receive the God moment. He does something for you on the inside or in your circumstances that brings you new freedom, that gives you new hope, that gives encourages your spirit. You no longer are waiting. You've done that for quite a while. But there comes a point where you walk in it. It's his God moment for you. I'm going to close in prayer. And I'd like for everybody just to bow your heads, close your eyes. Where do you need your God moment? What is it in your life that you're up against a wall? You can't get over it. You can't get past it. You're stuck. It seems impossible. And maybe it is. But I want you to lift faith. Stage one, expecting. Number two, believe. Get rooted in believing God for the miracle. Level three, waiting. Wait patiently. Trust God in the process. And then there comes a time where you receive when God acts on your behalf. I want you to open your heart because there's some people here today, I think, God wants you to receive something. You no longer will be waiting for it. You're going to walk in it. You can leave here differently because you're allowing him to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. It's the God moment. It's the God encounter. So let's take just a few moments of silence and receive into your own spirit what God wants to have you walk into. Just do that now. Father, we're desperate. There's people here that have been waiting a long time. And I pray today, this moment, this service, they open their heart and they'll receive your action, your voice, your empowerment, the change of circumstances, the deliverance from within, whatever it would be. Father, today, I pray that you'll be released because of people's faith, and they will walk into something new going forward. A deeper walk with you, more freedom, more liberty, more of an enlarged soul. Lord, do the miracle. Speak the God moment, the then times. Make it a reality for every heart here today. Do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. All because you're our God. And you get the glory and the honor. Move mightily in each heart right now. So, Father, by faith, we receive. We receive. And we transition from waiting to walking into it. And for that, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.